Welcome to Dwell A While, a series of podcasts produced by Dwell Time in partnership with the Yorkshire Visual Arts Network. For this series, we invite peer-nominated artists to talk to us about their art practice, the contentiously uncritical term resilience, mental well-being, and the impact of COVID-19 on their practice. This series begins with conversations with artists featured in the Y Van and Corridor 8 2019 publication Resilience is Futile, for which Dwell Time co-founder Alice Bradshaw was writer in residency. We invite the original Resilience is Futile artist back to talk to us about how they have been since the publication and ask each artist to further recommend an artist or artists to talk to. In this way, we look to map out a network of visual artists working across the region with a diversity and parallels of practice, collaboration and so-called resilience.
Hello, welcome to this Dwell A While podcast. I'm Alice from Dwell Time, talking to Hannah Lamb and Lucy Lound, who run Womp Studios in Sheffield.
Really great to talk to you. Thanks so much for talking to me on Zoom. And I'm sorry that we didn't actually get to meet up when it was possible. And now we're back into... hopefully, yeah. Now we're back into more restrictions and lockdown too. So how have you been since the last time we talked for the Resilience is Futile publication?
Busy, I think. We were just winding down from our previous funded residency project, I think, and a bit burnt out, yeah. I think. So we had sort of maybe 6 months or so where we sort of were more studio focused, and then we just started prepping and we just started our latest residency series, the SOFA program, and we had 18 back-to-back residencies lined up, and then I think two residencies in, it was lockdown number one. So
it's going to be from March to end of August.
Yeah, so a bit of a spanner in the works with that one. So we've sort of been busy rescheduling.
Have you managed to do the residencies through lockdown as well? Have some of those happened in some form?
No, I think we were probably on a similar page in that instead of sort of reorganising them to be online, we've just sort of delayed them, and we're having sort of open-ended conversations now with the artists that could run on until next summer. It's sort of an as and when, as opposed to sort of a series of residencies. We're now just going to organise them whenever people are ready. And some people will be digital, but we didn't sort of feel a huge amount of pressure to go digital for all of them and sort of replicate them online. And I think we also became a lot more studio focused.
Also, I think we didn't really want to compromise on what we initially offered them, which was the space and with, like, being in the studio with other people.
Yeah.
And have people been going into the studios as, like, you know, when the restrictions were eased a bit, were other artists using the studio spaces?
Yeah. We've had studio holders in. We've obviously put sort of some sort of measures in place for people to be able to go in and keep the distance, but for some people it's been very important for, like, their income or for the work they're making at the moment. So people have been in, but we're now sort of like, we have conversations about when people are going to be in and how many people are in at a time and stuff.
Yeah, just to make sure that you can sort of work considerately.
Yeah.
I think last time we spoke, did you talk about having a WhatsApp group so that people could just check in who was in the space? That seemed like a really useful thing for the studio holders to have that communication.
Yeah, we got the WhatsApp group, which has been nice during lockdown as well, because we've sort of been posting, I think there are a few texts and books recommendations as well, and bits and bobs floating around on there. But yeah, now but that's sort of one of the very few positives, I guess, is now people do post when they're going down, which obviously is a good thing during COVID, but hopefully it'll continue beyond that. So we just sort of know who's going to be down. So if you'll see someone, like, it would be nice to sort of know what activity is going on down there. Yeah, and a bit more sort of regular communication amongst studio holders, really, which is nice.
Sorry, what was that?
We always update them when there's biscuits in as well.
Yeah, the important stuff. I suppose it's nice for artists if they want to have conversations with other people and they know that that's an opportunity, then that's a really positive to be able to communicate that and arrange, rather than the sort of bumping into other artists if they happen to be there. It's more kind of communication around that possibility. That seems nice.
Yeah.
So you're both individual practitioners as well as running WAMP studio spaces, other than changing the residencies? How has the pandemic impacted your individual and studio practices?
I was furloughed, and that did sort of afford us a certain amount of time, or I say us, myself, a certain amount of time to reconnect with certain parts of it. Whereas before, yeah, I think I was very burnt out before in terms of like working full time and then trying to run WAMP as well. It sort of always took back burner, but I've sort of been drawing more, which has been really nice. Just like doodling as a way to sort of get thoughts going. But I joined during lockdown, I joined the board of directors for my football club, which I've loved. And with that, we're working to make we have like community sessions on a Wednesday night, which are open to all abilities, and we're making them sort of, we're restructuring them to be sort of actively trans and non-binary player friendly. And so it becomes this sort of safe space. So I've sort of been doing a lot of research around like safe spaces and like queer football, sort of rolling it into that director's role. But we're also going to hopefully maybe do some like publications on like football. I'm trying to make like a part of Lucy's zine series. I'm going to do a publication on like goalkeeping and like for beginners, because it's one of the sort of least developed areas of football is women's goalkeeping. Yeah, so there's been some fun things which have been completely not studio related, which has been quite nice to sort of reconnect with in amongst the chaos and madness of lockdown and stuff. Yeah.
So would you consider those zines you're working on part of your art practice, or is it something that like might become your art practice, or is it more something that exists as a separate thing?
Yeah, I mean, the zine series is like published by Lucy, but within a sort of art. I don't know, how do you describe it? Yeah.
I'd say it's a part of my practice, but I think would you count it as yours working on it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like sort of knowledge and skill sharing and sort of exploring, yeah, like safe spaces and gendered space and sort of.
that's really exciting though, bringing in, you know, it's that kind of art blurred with life type of thing, isn't it? Like when something become art and when is it life, and yeah, that kind of, yeah, that crossover, isn't it?
And I really enjoy just doodling footballers as well. That's just a bit of fun.
I think that's sometimes what we need in these times though, isn't it? Something that's not too kind of precious in a sense. Or I love doodling as well, like that's seen me through the last lockdown, and hopefully it'll see me through the next one as well. What challenges have you faced, other than the ones you've spoken about? Has there been anything else that's been particularly challenging through this pandemic?
I think I was just really overwhelmed with sort of feeling like I didn't really have that much time, and then maybe having like too much. I don't think during like March and April, I don't think I've ever slept so much in my life, but I have. I don't think I really knew what to do with myself at all. Like it took time to get used to having time. But I don't think I made anything or even thought about work either.
It was like an expanse, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was an abyss.
Black hole.
we phoned each other most days, or would talk to each other most days, and it would kind of, we'd just sit there in silence for long periods, or just be like, well, what do I do with the next 4 hours before dinner? It was kind of, it was a lot to, yeah, should we go on another walk? It was almost, there was a pressure to fill time with constructive things, I think. Or we felt a lot of pressure at the beginning to do a lot of WAMP studio work.
Yeah, but without being there or being particularly in touch with it.
Yeah, it's like, there's the ideal of having like 6 hours a day where you could theoretically be doing loads of really productive, useful things like boring studio admin, but I think we just couldn't get ourselves into the mindset of it. It was really difficult to sort of get motivated.
Also, I guess there was maybe like a loss of urgency at the same time.
Yeah.
A loss of urgency but an abundance of time.
Yeah, it was like, well, I could do it today, or I could do it next week. What does it matter? Wow, that's really
green. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's the same going to bed. It's like, well, what does it matter if I go to bed at 10 or 3? what have I got to do in the morning? I don't miss it.
Are you back at work now, or is it back into furlough schemes, and what's the situation now?
I was back when it eased a bit, but I've been furloughed for like the last, I think, either 2 or 3 weeks now. But ever since they shut pubs without food, I've been on furlough again.
Was that when we went in tier three?
Yeah.
So you're back in the time warp. Yeah, I've been working. I went back in the summer holidays and sort of went from doing nothing for 4 or 5 months to working like a 40-hour week all summer. So that was like a shock to the system, I think. But then it's sort of been pretty intense to be back in that cycle of like lots of work and then little else time-wise. But yeah, not nice to be busy, I think. After having that much time off, it's quite nice to be physically busy, actually, and out and about moving, as opposed to sort of sitting, staring at a wall for 5 months, occasionally baking so bad, but...
Radically different sort of time scales, and like you said, time warp as well. It's like two different sort of time zones almost, isn't there?
Yeah.
So what have you got planned? Have you got any plans for the next however many weeks that we're in this lockdown? Have you got any plans for basically coping and surviving, or art practice?
Christmas shopping. Is that the cheerful thing?
No.
No, we've actually got exciting womp news about the funding.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, because in the summer, we applied for the small business grants, the COVID emergency fund, which is the £10,000 for small businesses, which we've received, which has been nice. Yeah, super. It's given us a lot of security and a lot of sort of peace of mind for the studio. But one of the things we sort of were thinking about was how to best use it to build like a sort of sustainable platform or a sustainable studio. Because at the moment, obviously, I think what we found from the last couple of years is that we have burnt ourselves out. And I think there's not much more we can do. We have sort of big dreams and a lot of things we're really psyched about, like residency projects, socials, like publications. But actually, the thing we don't have to carry these out without completely stressing ourselves is time. So we've decided from January to August to use a section of that money to basically sort of employ ourselves. It's just like a small fee, but on sort of a weekly basis. So it basically means we can sort of work one day a week-ish, not like a full day, but like a couple of hours a week at one, and pay ourselves for the work we're doing. But that just gives us a little bit more time to be able to do things we want to do without burning out, so we can work and be paid and still, you know, eat and sleep, see friends and relax. Yeah, which is exciting.
Fantastic. Congratulations.
Thank you. But yeah, so that's the sort of good thing, I think. I don't know about you, but I find it mentally a little bit relaxing knowing that that's to come.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
So even if we've got a couple more months being a bit busy. Yeah, from I think it's January to August, we'll actually have some time. And then I don't know what that can mean for the future, but it just means we have more time and energy and feel better about doing the boring bits. You said something about admin the other day.
I can't remember what that is. But also it's like, it's peace of mind. Like, I'm on furlough again, and it's money that I'm being paid for doing work I'm doing. It just is a massive relief for me.
Yeah, it's security, and I think it means one slightly more sustainable as well.
Well, I honestly don't think we would have made it until Christmas without that funding.
Yeah, completely.
It would have been.
Well, yeah, because one of the things we use the funding for is for reimbursing studio holders who paid during lockdown, because we couldn't get a rent holiday from our landlord during the first lockdown. But obviously that meant the only way we could continue to pay rent, either it fell on us personally or was for studio holders to continue to pay, which obviously they shouldn't be obliged to when they're not legally allowed to access the studios. And it sort of didn't sit right with us ethically to sort of ask them to continue paying. So we sort of kept up through lockdown sort of quite open conversations about the fact that obviously we did need money, but if people were struggling to message us, so a couple of people paid reduced rent. And yeah, we just have had conversations about as and when that worked for people. But obviously we're just hugely, hugely grateful for their support and their generosity in paying during that time when they weren't necessarily able to actually use the studios. So when we got the funding, we've reimbursed people for a couple of months of rent. Yeah, just so they're not out of pocket for months they couldn't use it for. But it also gives us a financial buffer, which we never had before, because we're running not for profit. We just sort of scrape even.
Break even every month.
Yeah, ish. And even then it's a bit squiffy at times. Just for, yeah, because we're not trying to rack up loads of money. But we also wanted to keep rent cheap for studio holders. So we've never wanted to like hike up prices for the sake of, yeah, making profit. But now that we have the funding, it gives us a little bit of a buffer. So if we are short 1 month, it's not sort of panic stations.
It doesn't just give us security, like it gives them security as well.
Yeah.
So like basically that money has given one plus a community.
Because people do message us and say like, oh, actually, like I'm a bit short this month. We're going to pay a couple of days like after.
Week, yeah.
And we're never sort of particularly strict on that because, well...
People got stuff going on.
Yeah. it's a difficult situation for everyone all the time. Yeah, and we don't want to be landlords, I think.
No, but if it's like a conversation, I'm sure we can sort.
So yeah, funding good.
Funding good.
Recommend.
Absolutely. And that relief as well that you've been talking about of like, you know, the kind of not having to check every penny and the rest of it all, that must be mega, really. That must be such a weight off your shoulders to have that cushion, like they fantastic.
Yeah, we can buy a ladder that doesn't wobble.
Light bulbs.
Light bulbs people can see in their studios. What?
All the luxuries, oh my goodness.
Yeah. Might even get some form of daylight bulb.
Wow.
Running with the big boys now.
So what kind of questions or issues do you think that are pertinent right now for artists, for yourselves, for these studio holders? What are the kind of, money's obviously a big one, but is there anything else that you consider to be a kind of main concern or something that needs more conversation around, you know, artists surviving in lockdown? Is there anything that comes to mind?
Yeah, you give me a look.
You're staring at me.
Yeah, I think it's gone on a lot longer than any of us anticipated potentially. And I think now we're going to think about strategies, not just for the next couple of months, but for the next couple of years. I think everyone's sort of thinking ahead, whereas I know we've known people who are on about sort of starting master's courses or looking into like different jobs and different opportunities that might not be there now, or it might not be the sort of right time. I think we've seen quite a lot of conversations online about specifically, I think, some of the artists we support within the queer community. There's been a lot of like delay in already sort of quite lengthy waits for like gender identity clinic meetings and like support.
Just getting referrals, any kind of support.
Or any form of mental health support as well.
Yeah.
Things have been delayed, and I think there's sort of more of an urgency potentially now for people to have that support that's not there. Yeah, it just makes me worry for the queer family in terms of what support they'll get. And yeah, you see a lot of people trying to sort of self-fundraise now, and maybe there's different sort of forms of art making going on to sort of try and support that, to try and, yeah, whether it be like prints, publications. Yeah, just maybe that's what's on my mind at the moment. It's the sort of already lengthy delays in mental health support and support for sort of trans and non-binary people who are artists within the communities that we've sort of worked with, or the people we try to support.
I agree, it's a worry, and then it impacts, you know, mental health impacts everything. It was already a really struggling support service for COVID, and you know, now there's so much more demand. And I know a lot of kind of like the chief exec of Mind was calling on the government to do an emergency winter package, because they just, you know, there's just so little funding. I haven't heard anything about that, but Doctors Without Borders were saying that they started lockdown back in March. It was all about preservation of life, so basically like stopping spreading the virus and stuff. But now the mental health pandemic is almost, you know, it's the risk really. So we've got this kind of, we've got to sort of balance mental health and the risk of the virus. I've got a lot of people around me that are also struggling with mental health and accessing support and stuff, and it's really kind of palpable, you know, that kind of lack of support. So yeah, that is a big concern, I think, really big. And I think that when we can support the art community through other means that's not just kind of physical and practical stuff like mental health and all that kind of stuff, it just makes us all stronger. So I don't really have any answers as such, but I think they are really important questions. Finally, you did nominate some artists last time we spoke, but would you like to nominate any other artists that you would consider resilient? It could be in the context of, you know, what we're dealing with now in terms of pandemic, or in general, can nominate one or more. It's up to you.
Does it have to be Yorkshire based? Is that?
Yeah, Yorkshire and the Humber, ideally.
Yeah.
Tom Griffey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hopefully this will follow a similar process to the original publication, where we'll be able to go and interview your recommendations and just follow it on like that.
That's
what the plan is anyway. Thank you very much for speaking to me, and I really appreciate your time and some really, really interesting and valuable things to think about, and hopefully the listeners all have some thoughts and comments to bring to the table as well. So thanks so much, really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for talking to us and taking the time as well, and it's been lovely to catch up.
Thank you for listening to this Dwell a While podcast. Dwell a While is a Dwell Time and Wyvan collaboration, produced and recorded by Alice Bradshaw, Vanessa Haley and Lenny Srama. Edited by Vanessa Haley, with graphic design by Ash Armitage. Dwell Time is an award-winning, not-for-profit arts publication reflecting on mental well-being, produced and curated by Alice Bradshaw, Vanessa Haley and Lenny Srama, founded in 2018. Wyvan is the Yorkshire Visual Arts Network, a voluntary-led organisation managed by part-time freelancers, partnered with The Art House. Wyvan prioritise individual practitioners and small-scale initiatives, including those that are artist-led. Wyvan are funded by Arts Council England through a partnership with The Art House and are part of the National Contemporary Visual Arts Network. These conversations are starting points for which we encourage anyone to get in touch with comments and questions. The views expressed by the artists are their own. This content is covered by a Creative Commons licence. Anyone is free to share, copy and redistribute the material in any medium or format for any purpose. You must credit the artists, Dwell Time and Wyvan. Any remixes may not be distributed. Thank you to all the contributing artists for their time and generosity making these podcasts. If you have any comments and questions about any of the Dwell a While content, please do send them via our website, dwelltimepress.wordpress.com.